welcome to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network, online at lrn.fm. You can listen to the show. You can watch the webcam. Webcam's on during the show, live Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. And if you're listening and you want to give us a call, you can do that, 603-435-1105. But if you're hearing our voice and it's not Sunday and it's not between 3 and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, then we're not live. With you today, it's Daryl.
And Conan.
That's Conan the Libertarian Salata.
Hoo-ah.
He is filling in for the lovely Amberlee McCullough. And Conan, just let everybody know just a little bit about you, who you are, what you do.
Well, I am a free state mover. I've been here about as long as you have been here, Daryl. So what?
About seven months, and a half.
Yeah. I'm here with my daughter, 15. I'm an artist. I've got, I do ceramic figurines, and I also work at Walmart part-time, and we got some stories coming up about Walmart.
Yes, we do.
That's about it. I've got a new house here, and I'm spending a lot of my time getting it fixed up and settling in.
And did you mention Shire TV?
I am also the editor and co-producer of Shire TV. It's a growing outfit, a volunteer organization here in Keene. We cover a lot of local activism, a lot of New Hampshire events, and we push it out to the local people who don't, you know, maybe those old folks who don't actually watch YouTube. Like,
and apparently there's some big news with Shire TV you were just telling me about.
Oh, good news. ShireTV.org is now our domain. So you can click on it, check us out. We've got 15 episodes up, various hosts and anchors and guests. Go ahead and check that out. It is worth your watch for sure.
And then just to give a quick tease about the episode tomorrow night, it's going to be a pretty good show. Two guests, both of whom do a lot of great work helping out the less fortunate. Amanda Bolden from Shire Sharing and then Don Primrose from the 100 Night Shelter are both going to be on the show tomorrow night. So if you get a chance to watch that live, it's on Cheshire TV, which in the Keene, New Hampshire area is Channel 8. If you're anywhere outside of Keene, you can actually watch that online at, I believe it's CheshireTV.org. And they live stream that. And then later in the week, it'll be put up on the Shire TV's YouTube, which you can find at ShireTV.org. And since this is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, there's a lot of Black Thursday news.
That's where it's been pushed. It used to be a Black Friday thing. You know, it's gotten to the point where, you know, they're trying to get out there as quickly as possible.
I would not be surprised if within 5 years it becomes Black Wednesday.
Well, you know, I think it's just going to kind of turn into the rest of the week, which is, you know, our first article is going to talk just about that, you know, particular circumstances where, you know, it is kind of dying. It's dying out.
Yeah. I've got this article pulled up. It's from the Salt Lake City Tribune, which you can find at sltrib.com. It says, "This season appears to mark the end of Black Friday as we know it. But not everyone seems to be happy about that, judging by reactions from smaller-than-expected crowds at retailers in Utah and elsewhere Thanksgiving night. For decades, stores have opened their doors in the wee hours of the morning on the day after Thanksgiving, known as Black Friday. That still played out this year to throngs along the Wasatch Front and beyond. But a change appears to be taking hold because for the second straight holiday season, major change from Target to Toys R Us opened on Thanksgiving, this time earlier than 2011, turning one of the traditional busiest shopping days of the year into a two-day affair. Lured by earlier-than-ever Black Friday sales, people left Grandma and Grandpa in search of Samsung and Toshiba. They did not go blindly. In dozens of interviews, people acknowledged how spending has become inseparable from the holidays. Older folks pined for the days of Erector sets and Thumbelinas while in line to pay iPad prices. Even some younger shoppers said it felt wrong to be spending money instead of quality time with the family on Thanksgiving.
Is that kind of like, you know, watching TV while we eat? Because I love watching TV while I eat.
This actually is, I would say, much worse than watching TV while you eat.
What if you take your entire family with you to go shopping? That's what I saw the other night. You know, whole families with babies in carriages, in arms, with a TV in one arm and a baby in the other. You know, it was a family event.
I do not like the consumerism. And I realize that that's horrible for a small business owner to say. But I hate consumerism. I hate it with a passion. I think that one, if you need something, then fine, you know, buy it. If you provide products that people might not need, and books are things that people might not necessarily need, but they do provide a valuable service because they get information out there, and some of the books do provide enjoyment. So it's something that it's a want, but it's not a very expensive want. You know, where some of the things, this article, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, says something about someone got a 32-inch television for $189. That's not something that is necessarily needed. And what size television are they replacing? You know, I personally don't even own a television. And I realize that that's really weird to say. And when I was a kid, I thought it was weird when I heard people say that they didn't have a television.
It's all about the television. I was about to say about consumerism, because that's the norm. I mean, that's how we do.
Right.
And here you are bad-mouthing.
I don't like consumerism.
Materialism also, huh?
Yeah, it's more the materialism. And I guess a lot of it comes from the fact that I've moved around a lot. And if I can't fit it in my car, I don't need it. Everything I own will fit in my car. If it won't fit in my car, I obviously don't need it. It can be replaced. And there are a bunch of things that I have in boxes that I probably don't need, and I need to go through those things and be like, yeah, I can throw this out, I can throw this out. So it's the materialism and the consumerism of go out and buy this product because we can't guarantee that we're going to have it in stock tomorrow. It's the false sense of urgency on these deals. And
oh, no doubt. There's a lot of sales involved. There's a lot of sales advertisement, and they're selling things that I don't need, that people don't need.
Right. There was the video that came out, I'm sure you saw, where down in Moultrie, Georgia, the people were pushing and shoving, and one guy possibly got his hand bitten by a woman. There's the video. If you listen to Free Talk Live on Friday, Ian played the audio during Free Talk Live, and he was reading a report where somebody actually took the time to dissect this video, and he wrote, you can see here that this guy in this part of the screen puts his hand over a woman's mouth, and it looks like she bit his hand. So, you know, you've got all of this craziness for a prepaid cell phone, because there's this weird sense of urgency of, it's only guaranteed in stock for an hour. I told one of the local activists that Radio Shack had a really good deal on USB flash drives. And he said, I didn't even know that Radio Shack was still in business. And so I told him, and he looked at the price. Apparently he showed up late in the afternoon. They said, yeah, we sold out in half an hour on those. So it's this false sense of urgency, and we'll cover this and more coming back on Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. Welcome back to Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
And Conan.
Be sure to go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/voluntaryvalues. Give us a like. Check out the website, voluntaryvalues.com. Watch the webcam. Join in the chat. You can do that at lrn.fm. And, of course, if you're listening live on Sunday from 3 to 5 Eastern Time, you can give us a call at 603-435-1105. And we've been talking about the Black Thursday. What used to be Black Friday has now crept into Black Thursday, where stores are opening 8 o'clock at night.
Well, we didn't actually close. We were open the entire day. And people were free to enter into the building and get in line. And that's exactly what they did. And that's why we didn't have anyone getting trampled.
So, and that store being the Walmart?
This is our Walmart here in Keene. And I know that ours in Tennessee, Clarksville, we did it the same way. So it surprised me when I got home the next morning and looked up some YouTube videos and saw, you know, gates being open and people trampling each other. It was, you know, I thought that was old school. I thought they had done away with all that.
I think one of the videos you might be talking about is from the Victoria's Secret in Kansas, I believe, where it was inside the shopping mall and it sounded like teenage girls at a Justin Bieber concert just screaming for absolutely no reason at the top of their lungs and the high pitch, going to get these $12.95 yoga pants.
I have no doubt, but the video that I saw was most definitely of Super Walmart, and they were tearing it apart, and it was very sad, and I thought, like I said, I thought they had done away with all that nonsense and become more civil like we are here in Keene.
Yeah.
It was very civil. It was very organized. We had a great time. There was no people. There was no crazy, irate, spraying mace people. you know, and I went home.
And no one got arrested here in Keen on things or on Black Friday because of protesting Walmart. That can't be said of everywhere across the country, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But there's one more thing from this article from the Salt Lake City Tribune that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned. And this article, apparently one of the reporters went out. They were talking to people standing in line on Thanksgiving itself. Apparently, some people showed up as early as 7:30 a.m. on Thursday outside of the Target, and it says that the next people did not show up for 4 more hours. And this guy said the lines were longer than this time last year, and the stores opened later. Other Utah shoppers said they were bummed out by the so-called Christmas creep, punctuated by the fact that many more retail employees had to work on Thanksgiving. Some said that the Black Friday bleed into Thursday crossed a line, that merchants should not intrude like this. Yet amid these protests, people still talked about feeling powerless beneath the moment, as if they had no choice but to shop. And I just think it's really interesting to see a mainstream publication just put it that bluntly.
Powerless.
People, yeah.
Sounds like an addict to me.
The people said that they felt powerless beneath the moment, and the writer says, as if they had no choice but to shop. Yeah, it does sound very much like an addict, and, oh, I've got to go have things. Don't really care what those things are. I just need things. I need stuff. And apparently here in New Hampshire, do you have this article pulled up about the protest in Hinsdale, New Hampshire?
I do. Hinsdale Walmart site of protest, which is right next to Brattleboro, Vermont. And a lot of the activists were from Vermont. Hinsdale, discounts weren't the only thing getting the attention of local Walmart shoppers, as about a dozen people protested for workers' rights outside of Hinsdale Walmart Supercenter Friday morning. The protest, which began at 10 a.m., was one of several that took place at Walmart stores nationwide to raise awareness about what protesters claimed is the retailer's retaliation against employees speaking out for better pay, fair schedules, and affordable health care, which I have a problem with because I believe that I'm paid what I'm worth. I believe that I'm paid what I put in. My schedule is very decent, and my, you know, managers work with me. And as far as affordable health care is concerned, it's not Walmart's fault that health care is going up every year. You know, everyone's health care is going up every year. Everyone's health care is going up.
Yes.
It's not just Walmart. So what you need to do is look a little further down the line and figure out why it's going up. It's not because Walmart is the evil beast and he's, you know, they're trying to save even that much more money by raising health care. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. And I watched a video over the weekend where it was in somewhere in New Jersey. They were interviewing people that were at this Walmart protest, and this one guy said he had worked for Walmart for a number of years, was making $11 an hour, and was let go after supposedly complaining about working conditions. And he said something along the lines of, it's just so difficult. They were always getting on me of, make sure you do this, and it has to be done in a certain amount of time. It's like, wait a second. That describes every job I've ever had where I've had to do things in a certain amount of time. Now, are they doing Mission Impossible sort of stuff of, hey, Conan, we need you to restock the entire toy section plus women's clothing, and you've got 15 minutes, go.
No breaks. Go. Yeah, so, it's silliness. You know, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, we live in an entitlement nation.
You've got 15 minutes to restock the entire store.
And we've got people who believe that they
are
entitled
that bad?
To all of these good things, and they don't have to do anything for it.
Do you, you know, have un...
Oh, yeah, it's horrible, just like you just said.
Impossible sort of task.
No, it's not. It's good work. It's
you've
good,
got 8 hours
work.
To do 8 hours worth
and
of work.
And we've got two breaks and a lunch. So it's good to go. So I'm not I feel no sympathy for this man. I'm happy that he was fired. There are a couple of people that I work with, by the way, who I wish would get fired. Guess what? It's very hard to get fired. I mean, you really
That's what I've heard.
You really have to screw up. You have to be drinking on the job. You have to punch a customer in the face or something.
But if you listen to some of these people from groups like Our Walmart, and from what I understand, that group, Our Walmart, is not actually a group of Walmart associates. It's a group of people that want to go in and unionize the Walmart workers.
And why would they want to do that?
Because the union bosses then get more money.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So you've got this group that is not actually Walmart associates that are wanting to unionize Walmart. And they're going around saying, you know, pay people a living wage. And I actually heard one protest where they said pay union wages. So they were, you know, just straight out about what they wanted. They wanted Walmart to be unionized. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 603-435-1105. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network, online at lrn.fm, also available on several less than legal radio stations across the country. So if you're listening, we do enjoy it. There are several ways you can get in touch with us. You can go to facebook.com/voluntaryvalues. You can go to the website voluntaryvalues.com. Or you can be like Richard and give us a call at 603-435-1105. Richard, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I used to work at Walmart. And I mean, this is back in 2002, and I was making $7.15 an hour to start off in 2002.
Okay, and why did you leave Walmart, if you don't mind me asking?
I went to go and try to get a college education, which was my mistake.
Richard, how much well, how much previous work experience did you have before you started working at Walmart, and how old were you?
I was 21. I hadn't had much work experience.
And how do you feel about that? Do you think you were making an honest wage, or do you think you should have been making more than that?
I felt I was making a lot for not having much work experience back then.
Well, I agree. For a young person who is just out getting out on their own, you know, that's a pretty good pay. Some people don't believe that that's very good at all. But I mean, when you're young like that, I mean, sometimes you have to get roommates. Sometimes you have to eat ramen. I mean, that's just the way it works. I mean, right now I'm making a pretty good pay. I'm happy with what I'm making, and I mean, and some people out there just don't they don't think that I'm making enough.
So the medical benefits, what I was paying back then, it was great for my situation, and I got 3 hours a week. Care, you know, and I got raises regularly, you know. It's not like they were driving me like a slave.
Right, and there are some people that are making the claims that, you know, Walmart is doing slave labor, that's why they need to unionize. Anything else you want to add, Richard?
No, everything.
All right, thanks for listening. And Conant, you had a article that you were reading about the protest, specifically here in the Hinsdale, New Hampshire Walmart. And for people that aren't aware, that is the closest super Walmart to where we are, Keene, because apparently the Keene City Council did not allow Walmart to build a super Walmart in the city of Keene. So they had to build it in Hinsdale, which is about 15 miles away.
A good 15, 20 miles.
Yeah, because Brattleboro, from Keene to Brattleboro is 21 miles. And Hinsdale, you know, it's not exactly along the route.
And you know, it's very sad, too, because, you know, they wouldn't let us build a super Walmart here, but they did allow us to squeeze a super Walmart into a little tiny little building, and it's very nasty.
Right next to a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
Right across the street from several other shops that offer discount things. Although I'm not sure how many people realize that there's the shops across the street.
Well, right across the street, you know, there's a bunch of fields, open fields with nothing going on.
Oh, yeah, that's across the street the other way.
Oh, and we have a bridge here in Keene that's going, and it's opening out on a big field of nothing. The bridge to nowhere.
Well, they're claiming that because that Target shopping center is like half a mile down the road from this big empty field.
Through a swamp field.
That you're connecting one shopping center to another, although it's not exactly connecting anything. It's not a direct connection.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the city council here is. I don't know what's on their minds, and I won't be surprised.
Bearcats. That's what's on their mind, getting that Bearcat.
Lots of free things.
Yeah, and apparently the Bearcat did arrive.
It did, and well, I guess we're going to be out there whenever it arrives.
Oh, yeah, the Shire Choir will be in full force, hopefully singing Thanks But No Tanks whenever the Bearcat actually does make its public appearance. Probably, I would guess, if there's a Christmas parade in Keene, they will probably show it off during that time.
I wonder if it's going to be decked with halls.
I do not know.
Well, maybe we should drop that petition out. Bells, whistles, Christmas lights.
LRAD. Wait, no, that's what we don't want on there. But that's probably what it came equipped with. And for people that aren't familiar, the LRAD is the long-range amplification device or something. Whatever it is, it puts out this weird, irritating sound that will temporarily deafen you and basically immobilize you.
Whatever it is, we don't need it. It's silliness.
Yeah. And that was actually originally used by the military against the supposed insurgents over in the Middle East and has since been used against civilians here in the U.S. So let's go back to this article before I go on a crazy rant against the government.
The protests were limited in scope, occurring at a handful of companies, approximately 4,000 stores. One of the bigger protests occurred in Landover Hills near Washington, D.C. Organizers said about 350 people participated, although video of the event showed about 100 participants. Don Lee, who works for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which backs our Walmart, the union, would not say how many of those taking part were Walmart employees. I have a sneaky suspicion not very many at all. Walmart, in a statement, said there were 26 protests Thursday night when the stores opened at 8 p.m. to begin Black Friday. It estimated that fewer than 50 Walmart workers participated, and that many of the protests involved no employees at all. Now, and we got this feel a good 4 weeks ago. The company has denied retaliation against protesters protesting working and said Friday that it has offered special holiday discounts to its employees for the efforts this season. So they came right out and said, hey, look, you know, here are the unions. You go check them out if you want. We're not going to get mad at you if you decide that you want to go stand out in the front and protest. You're not going to get paid for that day. But on top of that...
No work, no pay. Sounds fair to me.
Yeah. And on top of that, we're going to get an additional discount on top of our already 10% discount. So next week, we're going to get a 20% discount on one whole purchase so we can go fill our buggies up and do exactly what everyone else did yesterday. Now, that did kind of upset me that, all those good deals, I'm going to miss out my 20% discount on those. But,
right.
I'm going to get my money's worth.
Well, and then... in 6 months, prices are pretty much going to be what they were on the sell day anyway, the way prices have that.
Especially when you consider that a lot of the good sales were electronics.
Yes.
And electronics drop every 6 months, they're dropped.
Yeah. So that deal that one of my friends missed out on at Radio Shack, that will probably be the regular price in 6 to 8 months.
And it'll be something bigger and badder and better out.
Well, it was a 32 gig USB flash drive for like $10, which is a really good price. And he said, I could probably get the same price if I went to a few different stores online. But instead of having to wait on shipping, I'll go check it out. And he got there. Yeah, we sold out in 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I did get. I picked up two 16 gigabyte flash drives for, I think I paid like $6 or $7 for each one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good price. And that's something I know I went off on the anti-consumerism rant earlier, but that's something that you actually.
Oh, I'm going to use them.
You will be using in various aspects, especially converting gigabytes of TV shows every week.
Oh, yeah, two of them.
You're probably going to fill those things up very quickly with what you do. So I would consider that more a need for your situation than just something that you want that's going to be taking up space on your wall. Like the 55-inch flat screens that people were punching one another in the face over. I don't know if they actually punched each other over that, but... Yeah, there was craziness, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, including 9 protesters arrested in Paramount, California for disorderly conduct. Welcome back to Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
And Conan.
And we've been talking about the Black Friday that is now becoming Black Thursday. And not mentioned are some of the other shopping gimmicks that sort of hover around this time of year, including Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday. Tomorrow is Cyber Monday. And it's a perfect time to go out and buy Taryn Lupo's new book, One Nation Under Blood. When a rejuvenative blood technology is developed that pits the young against the old, the government must take firm steps to address the war of supply and demand brewing across generational lines. Blood is not the only thing bought and sold in this dystopian tale of technology, economics, and independence. Vampires are now very real, but we never expected them to wear our grandmother's best Sunday dress. You can get One Nation Under Blood at Amazon.com and all major retailers, including your favorite bookstores. So, you've been reading an article. I think we pretty much covered all of that article about the protests here in New Hampshire at the local Walmart. And I've got an article. This is from the LA Times. It's out in California. Well, obviously, LA is in California, but this article mentions some arrest in Paramount, California. And to the best of my knowledge, Paramount is a suburb of LA. And I really hate the word that they start this article off with. It says authorities arrested 9 protesters, not police, not thugs with badges, authorities. So authorities on violence, also known as police, arrested 9 protesters, including a man wearing a priest collar outside of a Walmart in Paramount, California, for sitting down in the middle of the street and refusing to budge. Around noon Friday, LA sheriff's deputies peacefully handcuffed the 4 women and 5 men, arresting them on suspicion of illegally assembling.
You see, that's what I don't like. Illegally assembling. What does that mean?
It means that there are more than 3 unrelated people in a location without a permit, and they did not leave when we told them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Although, despite the fact that the First Amendment to the Constitution says right to assemble, although based on an actual constitutionalist look at the First Amendment, it does not apply to municipalities. And I'm fairly certain that the California Constitution provides for a right to assemble. I've actually read most of the constitutions for most of the states in the union, and the vast majority of them do protect the right to assemble. So all of these, you know, no assembly laws, they're blatantly unconstitutional based on the state constitutions, but it's been turned around to where the federal constitution supposedly applies to states, municipalities, everything else. So, well,
of course, they were on someone's property, so that might, do you think that might have an effect?
They were actually sitting in the street.
Okay, that'll work.
Public, although I don't condone sitting in the middle of the street. That seems counterproductive to me, because, and this is, you know, something that Ian Freeman has said, if you want people to get on your side, you don't do things that will annoy them.
If you burn that bridge,
yeah,
it's very hard.
Yeah, so if you're stopping traffic, people don't care. You could be protesting for whatever it is they want. If you are stopping traffic, you are automatically creating enemies by getting people mad at you, because that's not the way you do it.
Yeah, I'm already mad at you. I'm not driving right now.
Yeah.
Get out of the street.
Yeah. And then it doesn't matter. You know, it could be like, give this guy $1 billion, and he'd be like, yeah, no, whatever. Just get out of the street. I want to keep going. So they were arrested for illegally assembling. It says the 9 were participating in a rally that drew about 400 Walmart employees, union members, and others agitating for better working conditions at the world's largest retailer. Now, I think it's really interesting the way they worded this, because just somebody giving a quick once-over sees, oh, wow, 400 Walmart employees.
Mm-hmm.
Not paying attention that the 400 number includes, you know, any, if there, you know, if there were any Walmart employees that were actually there, could have been one guy that works at Walmart that happened to have the day off that showed up. Could have been 5 Walmart employees that all called in sick. Don't really know, because it just says 400 Walmart employees, union members, and others. So it could be, you know, 390 union members that were being paid by the SEIU, 5 other people that just happened to be there, and 5 Walmart employees that took the day off. We don't really know, because of the way this thing is worded. It lumps everything together.
And if any store has had, if all the employees of a store had assembled outside the building, that store would have been closed. There wouldn't have been anyone to run.
Right.
And I didn't see any of that in the news, so I don't think that happened.
How many Walmart stores have 400 employees?
The one I left in Tennessee had about 400 employees.
And that was a super Walmart?
It was a super Walmart, first, second, okay. and fifth. And we I'm thinking about 400.
Okay. I just know that when I go to Walmart, and I'm not trying to bash on Walmart here, honest, because I do sometimes go shop there. I just think that it's kind of odd, and this is actually not just something that Walmart does. It's something that every store that I go to does. They'll have 20 or 30 lanes, and only four of them open.
Well, they were all open the other night.
Oh, I'm sure on the holidays they all are. It just seems sort of, you know, I'm not really sure what the word is, but it just seems odd to have all of these lanes and then most of the time four of them open, lines at all four extended well into the aisles.
And not one self-checkout lane.
Or sometimes there's one self-checkout lane, but maybe I've got a six-pack of beer and I can't buy that in the self-checkout lane without having to have one of the associates that's helping somebody else come over to look at my ID and say, oh, yeah, you have permission to buy this drink. So, yeah, there were some protesters out in Paramount, California. Nine got arrested for illegal assembly. I'm surprised they didn't throw the disorderly conduct or resisting arrest. And we all know that you don't actually have to resist arrest to be charged with resisting arrest. And sometimes you don't even have to be getting arrested for anything else to be charged with resisting arrest.
As soon as that guy sat down on the road, he was resisting.
Yeah.
So he was a resisting authority. And remember, he wasn't. They weren't arrested by the police. They were arrested by the authorities.
Authority.
Exactly.
Yeah, and who was I believe it was a demo with the Chalking 8 situation in Manchester where his only charge was resisting arrest. And it just baffles me how that can be the only charge. Well, what was he being arrested for? He was arrested for resisting. But how was he resisting if he wasn't being arrested for
exactly.
something else?
Why was he in trouble? What did he do wrong?
I think originally it was contempt of cop, or what they commonly called disorderly conduct, obeying an officer, and then there's a couple other sort of catch-all charges that they throw at people. And, yeah, he got the handcuffs on, went to the ground. All right, you're going to drag me across the street. And so they charged him with resisting arrest because he
went to the ground. I wonder if he had walked peacefully with them. I wonder what charges he would have been nailed with. Then.
Disorderly conduct, illegal assembly, probably. There probably would have been several charges that they still would have thrown at him. But I do like the idea of, after you get put in handcuffs, just go limp, make them drag you.
Make them work for their pay.
Yeah, make them work for the pay that they're then going to go use to buy donuts to get fat.
Hmm.
Because that's what a lot of cops do. And if you're listening, I'm not saying that every cop is fat and out of shape and only eats donuts.
But a lot of them are.
But a lot of them are. Especially Officer Donut, who is actually my favorite police officer because he's never arrested anybody. And if you're not familiar with Officer Donut, it's a cartoon character drawn up by, Marcus Connor, the one-man rock band. You can find him at BrainlessTales.com. And stay tuned to LRN. We'll talk about Black Friday, possibly some unschooling, and who knows what else here on the Liberty Radio Network. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network, online at LRN.fm. You can watch the webcam from the homepage there. Webcam is on during the live show, which is Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/voluntaryvalues. Go to the website voluntaryvalues.com. go find the radio show archives as well as other news and articles that get posted throughout the week. And today it's Daryl.
And Conan.
That's Conan the Libertarian.
Ooh-ah.
He's one of the... Are you the co-producer, director? Well, what's your title with Shire TV?
I think there are, there's about three co-producers.
Yeah, so...
Individuals who actually submit product during the week.
Right.
And then I edit the crap out of some video during the week. I find some video. Some people say, hey, I want this video, and I grab it. I might cut it up a little bit. But the big part is, at the end of the week, taking the product that we have recorded on Monday nights at 7, taking that, editing it, making sure it's kosher, and then uploading it to YouTube. And that's, it can be consuming. It can be time consuming, for sure.
Conan is also one of the co-founders and a co-chair of the New Hampshire Liberty Party, along with myself and Ian Freeman. And you can find the New Hampshire Liberty Party at nh-liberty.info. And before we get back to the news, I want to tell you real quick about a new book being published by FPP, which is Free Press Publications. The Diary of Henry Myers tells the story of the collapse of a tyrannical dystopian empire, Namsoko, from the point of view of a reluctant hero. And FPP is actually raffling off the 9 original drawings from the Diary of Henry Myers. Raffle tickets are only $1 each, or 12 for 10. And everyone who buys 12 or more tickets will get a signed copy of the book. The winners will be announced on December 15th, which is the date that the book gets published. You can get your tickets now at raffle.fpp.cc. And pre-orders of the book begin tomorrow at shop.fpp.cc.
Now, when did you write that, Daryl? And your mornings when you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and you put a couple hours in every day? How did that work out?
This has actually been a work in progress over the last couple of years. It's a novella or novelette, depending on which definition you use for the word count of the book. And it's written in diary form, which is something that you do not see very often with books.
The Road, was that a diary format?
I do not know.
I can't remember myself. The one that they turned into a movie. It was a short book also.
Yeah, so this book, it's roughly 60 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, very quick read. And I actually had one person give me a review of the book. They read a preview copy that is still in the editing process. And she said it's written in a very real manner, and it sort of lets you know that things aren't quite that bad yet. And unlike most dystopian future novels, it's not written during the midst of the tyranny. It's written at the collapse of the empire.
The gray state.
With flashbacks into, hey, this is what was happening just a couple of years ago. And it's, a reluctant hero. And I actually had written a short story in 2009 titled The Reluctant Hero. And thanks to Taryn Lupo for encouraging me to actually do something further with that, because I originally pitched the idea. Hey, Taryn, here's the story. If you wanted to take it, do something with, go do whatever. He was like, dude, you're a good writer. You can do something with it. So I refined it, moved it around, made it a diary style, added in some backstory to several of the sub-characters, I guess you could say. So, yeah, it's a lot of very interesting activities that take place, including a Tiananmen moment, where one of the, co-stars of the book, he's not the main character, but he's throughout the book, where he actually stands in front of basically a bearcat. And you'll have to read the book to find out why.
I can't wait. That happens to be my favorite genre of storytelling, is the post-apocalyptic world, where we're served a big old helping of what we're getting into it, and I want to see more of it. I think we're going to see more of it.
One of our friends, Serena Beck, actually did the illustrations, And I've seen drawings that she's done before. She's never actually done any professional work before doing this. So hopefully I'm able to sort of, you know, launch her career a little bit. And she's decided to go along with the raffle off the illustrations idea. So buy your tickets and I'll gladly give these to people that want them. They're all going to be framed. They'll get shipped out. So the more tickets you buy, the more drawings you can win. And
now, is there anywhere people can view those pictures? I saw a couple.
I have three of the... I don't want to give away all of the pictures because some of the pictures do sort of give away some of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I've posted what I consider three of the best pictures that don't give away too much of the story. Other than, you know, things that I've already sort of mentioned about the book. So there's three of the pictures are available at raffle.fpp.cc. They're also available on the Facebook page for the book, which is facebook.com/thediaryofhenrymyers. And there's an event for the release, you know, getting the word out there. That way people can buy the book as soon as it is available. And like I said, pre-orders begin tomorrow, and everybody that buys a dozen raffle tickets will get a signed copy of the book.
Outstanding. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it's actually received. So we've been talking about Black Friday and what's now becoming Black Thursday, protest everywhere, and some of the other weird shopping gimmicks that are going on. But I want to get on to something that's actually a little more important than consumerism, and that is raising a family and actually letting your children learn without putting them in day prisons.
You mean where they learn about consumerism?
Yes, pretty much. Where they learn, you know, government good, doing things for yourself bad, that sort of thing. And Conan, you have an article pulled up from GulfNews.com.
Oh, yeah.
You want to start reading that? We'll probably get one or two sentences in before the end of this segment.
This article is entitled, "I Let My Children Do Whatever They Want." Dana says her four children have never been to school, aren't made to study, and can't get up, go to bed, and eat whatever they and whenever they want.
You mean they can get up, go to bed, and eat whenever they want.
Yeah, they can do that too, or can't if they choose to, because it's all up to them.
Right.
But they're the most behaved kids around. No schools, no exams, no bedtime, no meal times, and certainly no rules. It sounds like every child's wildest dreams. But for Dana Martin's four children, Devin, 13, Tiffany, 11, Ivy, 7, and Orion, 4, it's a daily reality. The controversial 39-year-old mom and her husband, Joe, 42, have made the bold decision to raise their kids in an unschooled household. Unschooled. And they believe that they're healthier and happier for it.
Now, there's a picture of these children on the article here, and the entire family looks to be very healthy.
It looks like the picture, it looks like it's straight out of the movie, a sound... Hold on.
The Sound of Music?
The Sound of Music, exactly.
Minus the clothes being, in this photo, the clothes are not made from curtains. I don't see any Nazis chasing them around.
They look like hipsters.
And, yeah, I guess. I still am not sure exactly what a hipster is. If somebody knows, give me a call, 603-435-1105. We'll talk about hipsters, unschooling, and healthy, happy children coming up on Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN.FM. That's the Liberty Radio Network. We are live every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're listening and it's during that time and you want to join the conversation, you can do so. Give us a call at 603-435-1105. And if you're hearing my voice and it's sometime other than Sunday between 3 and 5 p.m. Eastern, you can connect with me. Other ways, you can go to facebook.com/voluntaryvalues, like the fan page there. Or you could also go to voluntaryvalues.com, where you can find the archives and other news, other articles. With you today, it's Daryl.
And Conan.
That's Conan the Libertarian. And Conan, you were telling us about this possibly hipster family. I looked at some pictures of hipsters, and now I'm more confused than I was beforehand. This 39-year-old mother of four children, and I don't know why it just says a 39-year-old mother when obviously there is the 42-year-old father. So it's, you know, a regular family unit, I guess one could say. Or I don't know how regular they would be, but...
What do you mean? The difference
more,
in
more
years?
More traditional. No. When I say I don't know how regular is because this mother allows the children to do pretty much whatever they want. And they're not like the typical children that you would imagine... Because I've seen parents that basically don't care about the kids. Yeah, okay, whatever. Just, you know, leave me alone. And the kids wind up, you know, eating the entire thing of ice cream or eating an entire box of cereal. And then they do become fairly large for children there. And I realize, yes, I'm a large guy. And, you know, I'm not attacking large people. But just the image that one gets when they hear, you know, a mother that lets the kids do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And the article even says they can go to bed at 4 a.m. if they want. They can eat ice cream for breakfast. But they're smarter and better behaved as a result.
And as you said before, the picture, their family portrait, they look pretty healthy. They look happy.
They look like a normal, well-adjusted, healthy, happy family.
You know, I'm getting the, you know, we'll read further into this, but I'm beginning to get the idea that, you know, all of these privileges are allowed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that...
it doesn't make them taboo.
Exactly. It doesn't necessarily mean that these kids are taking advantage of them. I mean,
right.
If you just, all you have to do is say, hey, look, man, if you eat all that ice cream... you're going to get a sick, upset stomach, and then you're probably going to be, you know, on the toilet in an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you just say it, if you just tell your children in a reasonable manner that this is what's going to happen, they might take your word for it and not do it. Or if you're like my kid, you'll do it anyways just to see what happens, and then you'll never do it again. Some people have to learn the hard way, and some kids just, you know.
And I've heard that some of the Native American tribes would actually – take a very similar approach, or this family is taking a similar approach to how Native Americans would raise the children. Let the kids do whatever, you know, don't run and scream at them if they get too close to the fire. Let them get too close to the fire. They won't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a similar sort of thing. You know, yeah, go ahead. Stick the screwdriver in that light socket if you want to. See what happens.
Oh, they had all kinds of practices that we don't follow these days that make so much sense to me. Like, for example, when the mother is out picking corn or doing whatever she's doing, they would hang their kids in their little bags, their little carrying cases.
Yes.
Just hang them on a post, and when they go crying, let them cry.
Yeah.
And why would you do that? To teach the child that you're not going to come a-running whenever they cry. And then what happens, you know, but this is for safety reasons. I mean, if you're being hunted by the enemy... you know, you don't want a crying kid on your back.
Right.
You're just a target. So some of these things make sense. But
right.
The children learn very quickly that, hey, you know, I'm not going to get any sympathy. I'm not going to get any help because I'm just crying just to cry.
My grandmother told me that when I was a child, I threw exactly one temper tantrum. I realized it didn't work, and I never threw another one.
Mm-hmm. These things work. The old ways work. Some old ways are bad and they're broke. Some old ways still work, and they need to be,
you know,
they need to be revisited.
Don't really work so well.
Yeah, I like my text messaging.
You know, other things such as knowing how to plant your own food works very well. So, yeah, go ahead and
let's carry on with this thing. Dana explains, "We live life like every day is a weekend. The kids have never been to school, and we don't force them to study at home. We treat them with the same respect as adults. There's no punishments or chores. They can have ice cream for breakfast and go to bed at 4 a.m. if they want. They're smarter and better behaved as a result. The Martins' unusual approach to parenting is perfectly legal in New Hampshire, U.S., where they live. Dana started following it when Devin was born in 1999. At school, Joe and I hated being told what to do and had to study and resented not being able to concentrate on things we were interested in. I was depressed and rebelled, and I have to agree, even though I have always loved the competitive nature of academia and school and whatnot, sometimes I just wake up in the morning and I just can't stand it. And so, yeah. I ended up dropping out, and I made good grades. So it was very odd that I would pull that stunt, and my parents were, of course, unhappy with me.
Right.
But I got over it because guess what? I dropped out 2 years before I graduated, and I had 2 years to go out into the workforce and learn the hard knock life, which was getting a job,
and then
getting
you,
a place to
you
live.
You learned valuable skills.
Oh, yeah.
You actually were making money. And
returning to society,
you're actually better for it than if you would have spent the next 2 years being somewhere you didn't want to be, possibly distracting people that did want to be there, and then just being an overall menace to everyone in the school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And there's always community college, and there's always tech schools. It's all out there. So if you do want to go back and relearn something that you might have missed, it's available. And if we could get more people on board this type of unschooling, we might have schools that would pop up that would teach, specific occupations. Like my kid is into the cosmetology.
Right.
That's all she wants to do. She knows exactly in her heart of hearts that's what she's going to be. And why can't there be a school set? There is one, but she's not old enough to attend it, and it costs an arm and a leg.
I'm guessing that there's probably some kind of weird government regulation that sets that minimum age for this is how old you must be to
attend. Just like minimum hourly wage for salary.
And then a lot of the pricing is probably due to some regulations, whereas in a free market system or even a freer market system, she could work her way through college. And when I say work her way, I don't mean have a full-time job somewhere while trying to go to school. I mean, she could actually do chores or different services at the school of, hey, I'll wash all the brushes and sweep the floors at the end of the night after class every day in exchange for my tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a few questions. I'm actually wondering where in New Hampshire the Martins live.
Yeah, I tried to look that up.
They are members of the Free State Project.
Good question.
But we'll continue talking more about unschooling and specifically the Martin family, who has basically what they call an unschool household, coming up on Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN. This is Daryl.
And Conan.
And Conan, you've been telling us about this family that is basically an unschooling family, and they have what they call an unschooled household, where they let their healthy, happy children that age between 13 and 4 do pretty much whatever, whenever, and basically it's anarchy within the house.
And it seems to be going perfectly smoothly.
Yes.
And I was just now trying to pulled up Dana Martin's home webpage, and I was trying to figure out whether or not she was a Free Stater. She's been on a couple liberty-minded radio programs, but I can't figure out exactly. And maybe I won't even call her out on that, because some people don't like to be labeled as such.
True.
Just because it causes controversy and it puts you in the spotlight immediately, and sometimes people like to work under the radar.
Well, with having newspaper, or actually, I believe this is a magazine, the Gulf News. Not sure if it's a newspaper or a magazine, but doesn't appear that she's trying to fly too low under the radar if she's actually doing interviews about what she is doing here.
Well, I mean, it's a growing movement, and a lot of people are getting on board, and even starting to think about it.
Yes.
But as soon as you say something like libertarian or anarchist or free stater, then people are immediately up in arms, and that's that bridge I was talking about. Once you burn that bridge down, people don't want to work with you. Sometimes, as soon as you're debating with someone and you tell them that, hey, look, I don't agree with you, you're wrong. You just lost the debate.
Right.
And sometimes the best way to do it is to find common ground and work together, and maybe you can start to leech off some of your ideas. Just don't let them leech their bad ideas onto you.
Right. And if by chance Miss Martin is actually listening, I would love to have her call in and discuss this with us. So the telephone number is 603-435-1105. Or if you unschool your children, or if you are actually an unschooled child, then give us a call. We'd love to talk to you.
Now, speaking of that.
Yes.
We've been here about 5-6 months. Sashi had on the table before her the option of unschooling, homeschooling, or conventional government school. And she decided to go with the government school. And here were her reasonings behind it. She wanted to meet friends, and
understandable.
She thought that would be the best way, and she also knew that she would have this.
Most people like friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I love them. I love them. She also had an escape route. Once she had gone through her first semester, if she decided that it wasn't for her, that we would go ahead, pull out, and try an unschooling route. And so she's just this week, she's decided that that's the way she wants to go. Now, I've let her know on multiple occasions that it's not going to be a free ride. She has to, it's not going to be like the Martin family.
Right.
And
it's sort of a thing of you've got to earn your keep.
Oh, most definitely. If you're going to live under my house, you've got to be doing something. If you can work full time, I'll be happy. The problem is she's 15 and she can't work full time. But even if she was, as long as she was completely occupied, I would be a happy man.
Right. So, if she has a full-time job, then that's great. If she doesn't, then you will have expectations of here's different household things that need done, or, make sure that I know you're actually learning something. You're not just goofing around on Facebook all day.
Well, now, if you're just talking about washing dishes, that doesn't count because she's doing that anyways.
No, I'm saying things along the lines of the yard needs raked during, not this time of year, obviously, but during the spring, summer, the grass needs cut, the plants need watered. I think you said something about maybe getting some chickens sometime in the future. So, chickens need fed.
That'll be a springtime event. But again, you see, you're starting to tread into chores that aren't, those are mandatory chores. Those aren't optional. You have to do those in my household, or otherwise you do get kicked out on the street.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, here's things that need done. Make sure you do these.
But if she was going to government school, she would be doing those things anyway. So those don't count. So we're talking about real, goals. We're talking about, here's what I want to learn. This is someone in history who interests me, or this is some science that, I want to know more about, or this is a book that, I need to explore, and I'm going to do so, and I'm going to write about it, or I'm going to report on my findings. This is the kind of goals that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Now, in the case of actually working for another employer other than me, dad, the dad boss, that would also sway me, but she's got to be gainfully employed for sure. The devil's idle hands do the devil's work in my book, and I don't like the devil, but he is a sexy guy,
and
so I'm told.
All right, so that's a little too much information. I never knew that you had a thing for the devil. Anyway,
it's the devil's a she, by the way.
Okay, you just totally confused me there. I never knew that the devil was a woman. Okay, so apparently the Martin family, it does not appear that they have idle children. despite the fact that, you know, they have no set, you do this at this time, and these are different things that we want to make sure that you do, you know, it actually, from the picture, you know, you don't stay healthy and in shape by just not doing anything. So can you pick up that article wherever it was that you left off?
I could do that too, but you know what? I just found the sparklingmartins.blogspot.com, and this is quite an extensive blog with lots of family portraits. It looks like they were in Australia. It looks like they're doing some research here out in the woods. You know, these guys aren't idle at all. They're definitely going to town and trying new things. They're baking, you know, cookie snails, or you know, there's all kinds of strange things going on. These people aren't idle.
Apparently they run their own toy making business.
Mm-hmm. Now this is the problem I think a lot of people would fall into, a lot of parents, and that is that sometimes you get these parents where their kids are much, much smarter than their parents are. What are they going to teach their kids? I mean, what do you do?
Right.
I mean, if you don't have the ingenuity as like the Martin family, what are you to do? And so I don't think this is for everybody.
And I don't think that anybody that's advocating unschooling is saying this is what everybody should do. And there are some people that sort of try to say that unschooling advocates are telling everybody to drop out of school and, you know, don't listen to anybody that's older than you. You know, I don't know of anybody that is actually advocating what the, I guess you could say the haters
are claiming
that they're actually advocating.
I think they just want the option.
Yes.
It's like a lot of liberties that we don't have, and the people who are fighting for them, they're not trying to press them down your throats. They just want the option to do these things in their own home, on their own time, and to be left alone.
You should not be forced to do X, Y, or Z
with the threats of
you will go to jail if you don't. Now, like you said, you know, your house, your rules, that's perfectly acceptable. Because there isn't some, you know, government mandate of if Sasha doesn't do X, Y, or Z, she goes to jail. It's, nope, you want to live in my house, there are certain things that I expect from you.
Or if you want privileges, if you want to watch TV, if you want internet, you know, these are things that you have to do.
And in my opinion, that is basically a perfect example of a voluntary society at work. Most people don't look at a family as a voluntary society, but in some ways it is. And we'll discuss this a little bit further in the final segment coming up in just a couple of minutes here on LRN, the Liberty Radio Network. To Voluntary Values. This is the final segment of the live Sunday edition. And if you're hearing my voice sometime other than Sunday, then that means you're catching the archive, which we do appreciate. You can find those on voluntaryvalues.podomatic.com. You can also find those on the website, voluntaryvalues.com. And if you want to connect with us, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/voluntaryvalues. Here today, it's Daryl
and Conan.
And we've been talking about unschooling, and actually this one particular family, the Martin family from New Hampshire, and they actually have what they call an unschooled household. And we sort of got sidetracked looking at the Martin family blog at the sparklingmartins.blogspot.com. And danamartin.com, which is the website for Dana Martin, who is an author, a mother, small business owner, and unschooled household runner, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I like all of this input. This is definitely something that I was looking for yesterday when I was doing this research. I'm sorry, this morning, because I'm a third shifter.
Apologies.
But yes, this is exactly what I was looking for, and I'm going to for sure.
And apparently, Dana Martin has a couple of books out, one titled Radical Unschooling, A Revolution Has Begun, and a book titled Sexy Birth.
Which we were discussing before during the break.
Yes, and I'm not sure if Sexy Birth has anything to do with the orgasmic birth. I'm guessing, just based off of the title of the book, I'm guessing that it would, but I don't want to really make that speculation before knowing too much about it. But apparently, birthing can be very fun if done properly, from what I am told.
I would like to hear more about that.
Yes, there's a video on the YouTubes. I don't remember what the title of it is, but I'm sure if you Google orgasmic birth, it should be the top result. Right. And yeah, so let's get back to talking about this unschooling here in the final minutes of Voluntary Values.
Let me read a couple more pieces of this article.
Certainly.
My grades suffered as I simply wasn't interested in what I was being forced to learn. My parents were frustrated, but when they understood why I was behaving the way I was, they were totally behind me. I graduated high school, unlike Joe, who dropped out 3 months before was due to graduate. I didn't want the same experience for my kids. We wanted them to be partners in our lives and treated as equals. We wouldn't tell them what to do, but left them to make their own decisions. The mom, who runs a toy-making business with Joe, keeps her kids at home, but doesn't attempt to monitor their reading, writing, or math with tests, instead of leaving them to their own devices. Although there is no structure to their days, she and Doe, who makes the wooden toys for their businesses, get up at 8 a.m., while the younger kids snooze until 10 a.m. and Devin until 2 p.m. Then Dana will prepare breakfast, which generally consists of a buffet including cereal, fruit, eggs, and toast.
I want to live at her house.
I know. I'm starting to love it. I'm starting to love it for sure. And she's very cute. But she happily admits that they are free to do whatever they want. The kids also choose their own clothes, and as far as washing and brushing their teeth are concerned, they're allowed to make their own decisions about this, too. I have taught all the kids about the importance of hygiene and brushing their teeth, but it is their responsibility to do it, and they don't want to, that's fine, says Dana. With Orion, as he is so young, I help him brush his teeth at night, but I would never force him to do it. There has been a couple of times where he has resisted, so I have had to let him go to bed without doing it. At the end of the day, teeth can be fixed. Now, I don't like that part. That doesn't make any sense to me, because that's just another bill.
You know, true.
The last thing I want is an $800, root canal.
Right.
For a 13-year-old. That's just silliness.
But again, I think we sort of covered this earlier. It seems like the whole taboo behind rebelling against the parents has been removed from this household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your mother says, hey, you probably should do this, I'm not going to ground you if you don't. I'm just telling you, this is a smart thing to do. Then, you're probably going to wind up doing it just because it's the smart thing to do.
I wonder if these kids have had any interactions with other kids. I mean, how are these kids?
Well, they've traveled to Australia. You don't fly halfway across the world without coming into contact with other people.
You don't necessarily have to interact with anybody. I mean, I have lots of neighbors. I've only had interactions with a couple of them, usually because they've approached me.
True.
I mean, it's totally possible to go in your house, go to work, not talk to anybody, come home, go to your house, go inside your house, watch some TV, wake up, repeat. I mean, you don't have to interact with anybody. I mean, it's
true.
I mean, how are these kids doing the workforce?
The next paragraph says, at the end of the day, teeth can be fixed, so it's not something I'm going to get hung up about. There might be times if we're visiting friends or family when I might suggest to the kids to put a brush through their hair. But again, I would never force them. So it does sound like, she tells it, hey, you should probably do this. Not forcing you, just telling you. And then, maybe I'm thinking like a rational person here, but if my if I feel that, hey, there's something in between my teeth, I'm going to go grab my toothbrush, you know, and
who flosses,
get that out.
And who flosses anyways? Anyone in this room? Oh, Ian flosses.
I know some people that do floss every day.
I floss every now and then.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I should floss more often. I actually need to get some colloidal silver and gargle with that because it does help with the gums. But I'm horrible about certain things like that. But yeah, it does sound like, you know, it's a very loving household. It says Orion is loving Legos at the moment, so I'm trying to embrace that by buying him Lego sets, magazines, and we even cooked him a Lego shaped cake and visited a Lego museum. So you don't go to a Lego museum without interacting with other children. I can tell you that right now.
All right. And I love Legos too.
We have snow here right now, so the girls have been spending their mornings outside making snowmen, and Devin is usually baking or making clothes or jewelry, as he has an online store where he sells the items he makes.
You see,
the 13-year-old kid has his own business.
Mm-hmm. And I was about to bring up, you know, how are these kids going to interact in the workforce? You know, are their butts going to be handed to them by a mean old boss?
Well,
Or are they going to do exactly what Devin's doing and work for himself?
Apparently, the 13-year-old already has a business, and I need to contact these people and try to sell them some advertising. Because, you know, I've got this radio show that I co-host normally with Emberly, and we could use some advertising monies. There's also a newspaper that I put out that you can find online at news.fpp.cc. Then there's the Freedom Minute that is heard here on LRN. So there are advertising opportunities, and it sounds like these are some great people that they might not need to do any advertising with all the free publicity they're getting from Dr. Phil and Stefan Molyneux and the Gulf News. And now they're actually getting some kind of free advertising right now just by us talking about
sometimes
them.
That's all you got to do is get your foot in the door, and it's that's all cakewalk.
So the 13-year-old is running his own business. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
That's what every parent dreams of, is having a kid that can take care of himself. That's what I dream of anyways.
Yeah. And here's something else that's interesting that seems very counterintuitive to most parents. It says there's certainly no TV ban in the Martin household. Instead, Dana sees it as an educational tool. Quote, I wouldn't mind if they wanted to watch TV all day. Not so long ago, Ivy got really into watching a mermaid show, and for 2 hours every day, she would be glued to the program. I would nurture this by bringing her food while she was watching it. There are no restrictions on what they watch, and they have never wanted to watch anything I might be concerned about. And she said that she sees TV as an educational tool. And certainly there are channels that are more educational than others. Discovery Channel, and I'm not really sure how educational it is now with a lot of the American Picker and other shows that are on there. But at one time, Discovery Channel was my favorite channel just because I love to learn.
And now it's all silly reality shows.
Yeah, so there are some things where you can actually get educated by watching TV. And I wish that we had more time to talk about this, but we don't. Peace, love, happiness, and join us again next Sunday here on the Liberty Radio Network.